हरी जय तुंज बिहारी। यशोदनंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरे वनचारी यमुना तीरे वनचारी जय राधा माधव जय तुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव जय तुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ जय गिरिवर धारी।
सिंह
जय गोपी जन वल्लभ जय गिरिवर धारी। यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरे वनचारी यमुना तीरे वनचारी। जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Jagannathai, Jagannathai, Baladevai, Jaya Subhadra. Jayo Radha Vallabh, Radha Vallabh Shri Radhe. Prabhupad, 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 Jai Prabhupad. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada.
Namo Vishnupada, Paramahamsa Parivyacharya Ashtotat, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jaya, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jaya. All glories to assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudhiraye Nasta Praishvabhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavate Uttama Sloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishthiki. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Prahlad Maharaj, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu, verse 28. Shri Guru Putra Uvachaha Namat prana Pranitam Naparha Pranitam Namat pranitam naparha pranitam Suto vadhati eshah tava indra satro Suto vadanti eshah tava indra satro Naishargikyam matir asya rajan Naishargikyam matir asya rajan Niyacha manyum kad adha smama naha Niyacha manyam kad adha smama naha श्री गुरु पुत्र उवाच नामत प्रणीतम नापरः प्रणीतम सुतो वदति एष तवेन्द्र शत्रुः नैसर्गिक्यं मतिरस्य राजन् नियच्छामान्युं कद् अधः स्ममानः श्रीगुरुपुत्र उवाच नामत्प्रणीतं नापरः प्रणीतम् सुतो वदति एष तवेन्द्रशत्रो नैसर्गिक्यं मतिरस्य राजन् नियच्छामान्युं कद् अधः स्ममानः श्रीगुरुपुत्र उवाच नामत्प्रणीतं नापरः प्रणीतम् सुतो वदति एष तवेन्द्रशत्रो नैसर्गिक्यं मतिरस्य राजन् नियच्छामान्युं कद् अधः स्ममानः श्रीगुरुपुत्र उवाच नामत्प्रणीतं नापरा प्रणीतं सूतो वदति एष तवेन्द्रशत्रो नैसर्गिक्यं मतिरस्य राजन् नियच्छामान्युं कदधः स्ममानः श्रीगुरुपुत्र उवाच नामत्प्रणीतं नापरा प्रणीतं सुतो वदति एष तवेन्द्रशत्रुः नैसर्गिकीयं मतिरस्य राजन् नियच्छामान्युं कदधः स्ममानः श्रीगुरुपुत्र उवाच नामत्प्रणीतं नापरा प्रणीतं सुतो वदति एष तवेन्द्रशत्रो नैसर्गिकीयं मतिरस्य राजन् नियच्छामान्युं कदधः स्ममानः माताजी श्रीगुरुपुत्र उवाच नामत्प्रणीतं नापरः प्रणीतं सुतो वदति एष तवेन्द्रशत्रो नैसर्गिकीयं मतिरस्य राजन् नियच्छामान्युं कदधः स्ममानः श्रीगुरुपुत्र उवाच नामत्प्रणीतं नापरः प्रणीतं सूतो वदाति एष तवेन्द्रशत्रुः नैसर्गिकीयं मतिरस्य राजन् नियच्छामान्युं कदधः स्ममानः श्री गुरु पुत्र उवाच द सन ऑफ शुक्राचार्य हिरण्यकशिपुस स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर सेड ना नॉट मत प्रणीतम एजुकेटेड बाय मी ना नॉर पर प्रणीतम एजुकेटेड बाय एनीवन एल्स सूतः द सन प्रह्लाद वदति सेज एषः दिस तव योर
Indra Satru, O enemy of King Indra. Naisargiki, natural. Iyam, this. Mati, inclination. Asya, of him. Rajan, O king. Niyachha, give up. Manyum, your anger. Kad, fault. Adaha, attribute. Sma, indeed. Ma, do not. Naha, onto us. Translation. The son of Sukracharya, Hiranyakashipu's spiritual master, said, O enemy of King Indra, O king, whatever your son Prahlad has said was not taught to him by me or anyone else. His spontaneous devotional service has naturally developed in him. Therefore, please give up your anger and do not unnecessarily accuse us. It is not good to insult a Brahmana in this way. So, who are the sons of Sukracharya? Sandayan, Amaraka. So, they are calling themselves Brahmanas. So, they are giving instruction to Hiranyakashipu saying, it is not good to insult Brahmanas like the way Hiranyakashipu was shouting at them. Okay, verse 29. Sri Narada Uvacha, Guru Naivam Prati Prokto Bhuya Ahasuraha Sutam Nached Guru Mukhyam Te Kutha Abhadrasati Mati. Sri Narad Muni continued, when Hiranyakashipu received this reply from the teacher, he again addressed his son Prahlada. Hiranyakashipu said, you rascal, most fallen of our family, if you have not received this education from your teachers, where have you gotten it? Purport. We'll repeat the translation for the last one and this one. Translation. The son of Sukracharya, repeated the translation? No, right? Translation. The son of Sukracharya, Hiranyakashipu's spiritual master, said, please repeat. O enemy of King Indra, O king, whatever your son Prahlad has said was not taught to him by me or anyone else. His spontaneous devotional service has naturally developed in him. Therefore, please give up your anger and do not unnecessarily accuse us. It is not good to insult a Brahmana in this way. And verse 29. Sri Narad Muni continued, when Hiranyakashipu received this reply from the teacher, he again addressed his son Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu said, you rascal, most fallen of our family, if you have not received this education from your teachers, where have you gotten it? Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that devotional service is actually Bhadra Sati, not Abhadra Asati. In other words, knowledge of devotional service can be neither inauspicious nor contrary to etiquette. To learn devotional service is the duty of everyone. Therefore, the spontaneous education of Prahlad Maharaj is supported as auspicious and perfect. Om Agnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tashmai Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sahavadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरंगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी ऋषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांचकल्पतरुभ्यः कृपा सिंधुभ्यश्च पतितानं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण
So when I was reading this verse 29 and 30, I was, 28 and 29, I was tempted to take the verse 30 as well, for various reasons. The first reason being it is a continuation of 28, 29 and 30. And second, the purport of 29 is so short, I thought I wouldn't be able to speak about it, much about it. And of course, the most important reason is 30 is one of my favorite verses in Bhagavatam. So I was tempted to take that. So I inserted into my notes. And then when I started preparing for the class, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, there is so much into the purport of 29 that I couldn't reach 30's purport. Srila Prabhupada here mentions, quotes Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and says that devotional service is actually bhadrasati, not abhadrasati, as mentioned by Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu is saying, whereas this abhadra asati, and translation, Srila Prabhupada is translating abhadra means inauspicious, and asati means which is bad, which is not perfect. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is translating as perfect. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying that it is exactly opposite. Devotional service is not abhadra, it's bhadra. It is auspicious and it's not asati, it is sati. It is perfect. So we see here Srimad Bhagavatam is like an ocean. Even in just few lines, it can explain the entire philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam. And as Srila Prabhupada has mentioned in the first canto, in the one of the purports, Srila Prabhupada is saying that each word of Srimad Bhagavatam is powerful enough to invoke devotional service into the heart of a sincere soul. And I was thinking, it is like ocean. It is mentioned Srimad Bhagavatam is like an ocean. When we go and swim into an ocean, anybody has swam into an ocean? Okay. Yeah. So what happens when you go and swim into an ocean? How did you go when you were swimming in the ocean? By yourself? How far did you go? Sorry, bro. That's right. It depends on how good swimmer you are. So how far did you go into an ocean? So until your waist or chest or... Okay, so until your chest height. So that's not really swimming in an ocean. That's like on the shore. You are still on the shore. Your legs are still touching on the shore. But really, when you go into an ocean, when you swim into an ocean, and you see many people here swim... This is not really an ocean, it's a bay. But even in the bay, when you go deep into the ocean, what happens is, after a while, and if you don't have any boats or anything around, when you look back at the shore, things look very tiny. And as you go deep into the ocean, at one point things disappear. And the water becomes more grave. The waves are much higher than what you think the waves are on the shore. And the third thing that happens is it scares you. When you are deep into the ocean, nothing around, and it's just water, you feel to understand the vastness of an ocean. So similarly, when we study Srimad Bhagavatam, when we are just looking at the verses or some portion of Bhagavatam, it is like standing on the shore. But when you seriously study Srimad Bhagavatam, when you dive deep into the purports of Srila Prabhupada, they are like makes you realize the vastness of the ocean. It sometimes gives you an inspiration to understand what devotional service is. Because unless we study Srimad Bhagavatam very scrutinizingly, going through verse by verse, and Srila Prabhupada recommends this in the first canto itself, that one should go approach Srimad Bhagavatam in a categorical way. One should not jump to the 10th canto. One should go in first canto, second canto, that way. So one should go through verse by verse, chapter by chapter, canto by canto. And then one will be able to understand the vastness of this ocean, Srimad Bhagavatam. So in these three verses, 28, 29, 30, one thing is common. It is speaking about Matir. In verse 28, it is saying, Naishargikyam Matir. That it was natural inclination for Prahlad Maharaj. And then in 29th verse, it is saying, Abhadra Sati Mati. Asati Mati. Hiranyakashipu is saying, where is this inclination which is inauspicious and bad inclination came into your heart? And in verse 30, of course, we are not going to go into much detail of verse 30. We'll leave it for tomorrow. But Prahlad Maharaj is saying, Matirna Krishna Pratho Svatova. This inclination towards Krishna is not aroused by persons who are materially attached. So it's speaking about the Matir. And Matir, I was searching for this word, Matir, and it is mentioned many times in Bhagavatam, and Srila Prabhupada translates it sometimes as inclination, sometimes as mind, and sometimes as intelligence. One of the pastimes, since we are speaking here about Narad Muni speaking, one of the pastimes where this Matir is used as mind and intelligence is Narad Muni's own pastime in the first canto, 5th and 6th chapter. There is a pastime Narad Muni speaks to Vyasadeva about his life, about his how he became Narad Muni from a maidservant's son. So in that pastime, it is explained how Narad Muni got darshan of the Lord. So right in the beginning, Narad Muni was born as a son of maidservant. And then he explains he got the association of the Bhakti Vedantas. And these Bhakti Vedantas, these sages, these devotees, Vaishnavas, had just come to the house where Narad Muni and his mother were living. And they stayed there for Chaturmas, or two seasons, it is mentioned, two seasons. And because of this was the causeless mercy of the Lord and devotee, that he got the association of the sages. So he served the sages along with his mother, and he got an opportunity to taste the remnants of their food, Mahaprasad. And Narad Muni mentions that all his sins were at once eradicated as soon as he partook the remnants from the Bhakti Vedantas. And because of which he got an affinity to hear from the Bhakti Vedantas. And he was hearing every day about the topics of the glories of the Lord. And in that he is mentioned, Priya Shrava Akhilata Ashkilata Matir Mama. So he's saying that his attention to hear the Lord's pastime was unflinching. So here Matir is translated by Srila Prabhupada as attention. or inclination, you can say as well. So just by taking, associating with the Bhaktivedanta's devotees, just by hearing from them and eating their Mahaprasad, Narad Muni got this mati or inclination to hear more about the Lord with rapt attention. And then in that purport, Srila Prabhupada translates this as the development of bhakti of Narad Muni. He says, Srila Prabhupada writes that Narad Muni, as we know from Shraddha to Prema, so Narad Muni had little bit of Shraddha, which also was the mercy of the association of devotees. And then Shraddha became Sadhu Sangha, and because of that Sadhu Sangha, it converted into Bhajana Kriya. He was able to hear the pastimes from the Bhakti Vedantas. And that Bhajana Kriya culminated into Anartha Nivritti. All his sins were eradicated when he took Prasad, Mahaprasad, from the Bhakti Vedantas, remnants of foodstuff from Bhakti Vedantas. And then he got an affinity to hear more. He became Nishtha. His Nishtha was developed. And then Narad Muni is saying he developed ruchi, interest in more attraction to hear the pastimes, and which culminated into attachment, asakti. And then he says the Lord, after the Bhaktivedantas left, in the next chapter he mentions, after the Bhaktivedantas left, initiating Narad Muni into a mantra, they gave him instructions to chant. And Narad Muni followed that instruction very carefully. And then, after the Bhaktivedantas left, one day his mother was bitten by a snake. And Narad Muni mentions that he was very attached to his mother because she was the only person who was there. So he was very attached to his mother, and his mother was also naturally very attached to Narad Muni. But Krishna takes away the attachment. He mentions that Krishna took away that attachment from him. So his mother was bitten by a snake. And Narad Muni mentions that aroused, like he was chanting and meditating and following the instruction of his spiritual master, and that aroused more attraction for the Lord's pastimes. And he was chanting the names. And at that point, after his mother left, he started walking for north. He started walking towards the northern mountains, Himalayas. At that point, it is mentioned, he was traveling through different cities, beautiful villages, farms, mines, gardens. And then there were mountains of gold, silver, and copper. And then there were beautiful lakes and lands which were similar to that like of an heaven. So, and then he came across dangerous forests, which were very fearful. But Narad Muni did not become distracted by any of this. Which are the byproducts of bhakti. So when one practices bhakti, automatically one will be given all the facilities. Sometimes it will be good, sometimes there will be distractions in bhakti. So sometimes they are good, sometimes they are bad. But Narad Muni did not become distracted by any of this. He was determined, and he kept on walking for north. And then at one point, Narad Muni came across a river where he was very tired. He drank the water from the river and sat below the banyan tree to meditate. And he mentions, as soon as I began to meditate upon the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, with my mind transformed in transcendental love, tears rolled down from my eyes. And without delay, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, appeared on the lotus of my heart. So immediately Narad Muni had a darshan of the Lord as soon as he started meditating. And then in a moment, the Lord disappeared from his mind, and he started to search where the Lord, who was just there, went. And Lord mentioned to Narad Muni, and this is mercy of the Lord. The first mercy was the Lord appeared in the mind. And Prabhupada in the purport mentions that the Lord is not forced. There is no mechanical way to see the Lord. Lord appears and disappears by His own sweet will. It's a causeless mercy of the Lord. There is no cause to the appearance of the Lord. So first time, the Lord appeared by His causeless mercy. And then when Narad Muni again started to meditate and search for the Lord did not appear. So there is no mechanical way of seeing the Lord. And then the second mercy of the Lord was, Lord spoke to Narad Muni. He said, Sat Seva Grihi Dhyapi Jata Mai Drid Mati Hitva Dhyam Imam Lokam Ganta Mat Janatam Asi. By service of the Absolute Truth, even for few days, a devotee attains firm and fixed intelligence in me. So here again, Mati is used, and Srila Prabhupada is translating as fixed intelligence in me. Consequently, he goes on to become my associate in the transcendental world after giving up the present deplorable material worlds. And so the Lord is speaking to Narad Muni, saying that even if someone practices devotional service only for few days, a devotee will attain a firm and fixed intelligence in me, and eventually he will come back to me. So this is a guarantee for all the devotees who are practicing devotional life. Even for few days, Lord says, if one practices devotional life, he will be given intelligence, fixed intelligence. And consequently, eventually, they will be again associating with the Lord in the transcendental world after giving up this material world. And then in the next verse also, the Lord says, Matir nahi nibedhyam na vipadyete karhichit praja sarga nirodhapi smritischa mad anugrahat. Intelligence engaged in my devotion cannot be thwarted at any time. Even at the time of creation as well as at the time of annihilation, your remembrance will continue by my mercy. And so again, Lord is using Matir mahi nibedhyam. So Lord is saying, once you have fixed your intelligence on me, that intelligence can never be lost. As Bhagavad Gita says, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Neha Bikrama, Nasosti Pattavayana Vidyate Swalpam Apesha Dharmasya Trayato Mahato Bhayat. So once one has fixed his intelligence on the Lord, Lord is saying, that cannot be thwarted at any time. The time cannot remove that intelligence. Even at the time of creation, at the time of annihilation, your remembrance will continue by my mercy. So Lord is saying, after creation and annihilation also, that intelligence remains fixed. And that was the benediction or mercy of the Lord, benediction given to Narad Muni. So Narad Muni explains, after that, at the time of dissolution, Narad Muni entered into the body of Garbhodaksha Vishnu, and again when the creation happened, at the night of Brahma, everything went into the body of Garbhodaksha, and next day of Brahma he appeared again as Narad Muni, and he started traveling. Narad Muni explains, at the time of death there was lightning and illumination at the same time. He just changed his body and there was no misery. As it is explained, when one dies there are thousands of scorpions biting him. But for Narad Muni, it was not the case. For Narad Muni, it was lightning and illumination at the same time. He immediately took the body of Narad Muni and he was able to travel throughout the universe. So, another... as it is explained in the case of Sandha and Amarka, they are calling themselves Brahmanas. We can understand from Kapila Muni's instructions in the third canto, where he gives different gradations of living entities. He starts with inanimate objects, then objects or living entities who can move, who are immovable, then movable, and then living entities with sense perceptions. In this he gives different gradations of living entities, and he comes to the human beings who are two-legged, and then of them are people who don't follow any Varnashram Dharma, who are Asurik. And then he speaks about humans or people who perform or follow Varnashram Dharma, who are little bit pious. And then higher than them are Brahmanas. And then higher than Brahmanas are the Brahmanas who know the Vedas. And then Kapil Muni says, higher than the Brahmanas who know the Vedas are the Brahmanas who know the meaning of the Vedas. And then he mentions, higher than them are Brahmanas who can dispel the doubt of others. And then higher than them are the Brahmanas who also follow their duties. And then higher than them are liberated persons. And then higher than the liberated person are the Vaishnavas. So Kapila Muni is giving gradations of Brahmanas. So the best of the Brahmanas are the Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas are already Brahmanas. So here when Sandhya and Amarka are calling themselves Brahmanas, but they are not following the duties. So they are just born in a Brahmanical family, born to Sukracharya. That's why they are calling themselves Brahmanas. But really they are just Dvija Bandhus. So they are not Brahmanas who understand the Vedas. Because one who understands the Vedas understands the purport behind the Vedas. And this was another instruction given by Narad Muni to Vyasadev, that you have given everything. You have given the four Purushartas, but you have not given directly what is the essence of all the Vedas. Veda is a server, aham eva Vedya. Krishna says, by understanding the Vedas, I am to be known. Vedanta krit veda vid eva chaham. I am the creator of the Vedas. And so the real purport of the Vedas is to understand the Lord, who is the creator of the Vedas. And then it is mentioned here how Prahlad Maharaj was spontaneous in his devotional service. So how do we understand, how does the spontaneity come? So in the beginning of the beginning of this canto, actually Parikshit Maharaj asked a question: how come the Lord is equal to all, but at the same time is partial to the demigods, and he kills the demons? Lord is above the material mode, so he's saying he is equal. He's a well-wisher of everyone, but he still seems to be taking part, being partial to the demigods. So Sukhdev Goswami replies to Parikshit Maharaj, saying that actually Lord is above the modes. He is the creator of the modes. By the time element, he infuses pradhan and the modes come into action. But these modes are not, the Lord is not directly influencing the modes. At the same time, he is not being influenced by the modes. And so how does the modes work? Sukhdev Goswami mentions in that section, saying that this is an autonomous system. And so there are three modes created: Sattvagun, Rajagun and Tamagun. And each of the modes, they fight for dominance. And whoever living entity associates with whatever mode, he will go through creation, maintenance and dissolution. What is Sattvagun for? In terms of creation, maintenance and dissolution, what does Sattvagun do? Maintenance. Sattvagun maintains. Rajogun creates. And Tamogun annihilates or destroys. So depending on what modes one associates with, so generally we see all the yogis, they are in the mode of goodness. They strive for mode of goodness. And by that they are able to live for a very long life. They can maintain their breath and life. And they can maintain their life air. So they can live for a very long life. Those who are in the Rajogun, we see they are very passionate. They are able to create things. And those who are in the mode of Tamogun, who drink, smoke, what do? They basically destroy themselves. So their life is very short. So Sukhdev Goswami is mentioning in that section that these three modes are completely separate from or independent of the Lord. Even though the Lord is a creator, he does not interfere with the three modes. But the living entity, depending on what mode he chooses, he can choose his creation, maintenance or destruction. And so Lord is not partial. Sukhdev Goswami is coming to that point. Lord is not partial. Lord is giving us a free will, how we want to live our life. And depending on what we choose, we go through these three phases. And then Parikshit Maharaj asked the question, then why? How about King Vena was destroyed by the Brahmanas, but Dantavakra and Shishupal were given Sayuja Mukti. They were given liberation, which is difficult even for the transcendentalists. And Vena and Shishupal both were blaspheming the Lord, so which is in the mode of ignorance. But then Sukhdev Goswami explains the pastime of Narad Muni and Yudhishthir Maharaj, where in the Rajasuya Yagna, everyone saw Shishupal, how he was blaspheming the Lord, and eventually the Lord invoked his Sudarshan Chakra and killed Shishupal, and immediately the soul of Shishupal entered into the body of Krishna. And at that point, Yudhishthira Maharaj questioned, Narad Muni was sitting next to him, asking, how did this happen, which is difficult even for transcendentalists to attain Sayuja Mukti, and this person who was such a blasphemer got this Sayuja Mukti. And then Narad Muni mentions this verse, Gopya Kamat Bhayat Kamso Dveshat Chaita Dayo Nirpa Sambandad Vrishnayat Snehad Yuyam Bhakta Vayam Vibhu. So Gopya Kamad, so the gopis, by their lusty desire, by love, Bhayat Kamso, Kamsa, by fear, Dveshat Chaita Dayo, the king of Chedi, Shishupal, by fear, envy, and Nripa, Sambandad Vrishneya, all the Vrishnis, all the Yadus, by their relationship with the Lord, Snehad Yuyam, and you Pandavas, by your love for the Lord, and Bhakta Vaham, and the devotees, by their devotional service, obtain the mercy of Krishna. And then Narad Muni mentions, anyone who thinks about the Lord in any of these ways, by love, by fear, by envy, by friendly relationship, or by devotional service, anyone thinks in these ways, always meditates on the Lord, is able to attain the nature of the Lord, or is able to go back home, back to Godhead. And then it's interesting, Narad Muni mentions, it is easy sometimes to think about the Lord in envy than in love. Because the nature of envy is such that one will never be able to forget his enemy. But the envy has to be very strong. If one is not a devotee, if one is not completely, and he's at, Narad Muni mentions, it is not possible for anyone to meditate on the Lord unfavorably. One needs the mercy of the Lord, even for thinking about him in envy. And if one associates with the Lord in any of these ways, he automatically comes to the mode of transcendence, because Lord is on the platform of transcendence, is not in the mode of goodness, passion or ignorance. Narad Muni says, if one thinks of the Lord in any of the above ways, he associates with the Lord in transcendence, which is above the modes, thus becomes purified of all his sins, and he goes back home, back to Godhead. So then Narad Muni starts to explain that this particular Shishupal and Dantavakra, who were envious, they're not ordinary living entities. It does not come by chance that one is so much engrossed in even in envy. So they are Jayan Vijay, or they are pure devotees in the spiritual world. And then again, this pastime comes about how Hiranyakashipu and or Jay and Vijay were cursed and became Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. And this follows into this pastime as we are reading here, how Hiranyakashipu was actually, it is interesting, Hiranyakashipu spoke the philosophy so perfectly at the time of Hiranyaksha's death to his nephew, mother, and his sister-in-law. He spoke about how birth and death are going to come anyways. Everyone goes through the karmic reaction. So he's speaking all this philosophy, which is perfect Bhagavad philosophy. But at the same time, when it comes to his own self, he wants to make this place a permanent place. And he performs all the austerities. He pleases Brahma and he asks for all these benedictions so that nobody can kill him or he does not die. And again, this is devotional service. We see this is kind of devotional service which Kapila Muni is explaining. There are three kinds of devotional service which are mixed with the modes. So then devotional service can be in the mode of ignorance, passion, or goodness. So what happens when a devotional service is in the mode of ignorance? The person is envious, violent, pride, and anger arises within the heart. He performs this out of pride. And many times we see, even as devotees, there is pride, anger within our heart. Envy is there. So that is devotional service in the mode of ignorance. Then what is devotional service in the mode of passion? Where one wants to enjoy material opulence. When one wants fame, one performs devotional service in the mode of passion. And devotional service in the mode of goodness is where one desires himself to be free from karma. So there is no attachment to the Lord, but he wants liberation. He does not want to suffer in the material world. And so many times somebody is suffering, he says, I'm practicing devotional service because I don't want to suffer in this material world. But that is not enough to go back home to Godhead. One has to have attraction, one has to have attachment for the Lord. And so Kapila Muni is explaining there are these three kinds of devotional service in the material modes. And how to get over from this Mishra Bhakti to pure devotional service. So Kapila Muni is again giving a remedy. He's saying disregard, hatred, and criticism. The first one is disregard. We should not disregard anyone as being inferior. One has to see the same super soul in each and every living entity. So one should not disregard any living entity. One should have love for each and every living entity. So that is the first point. The second point Kapila Muni is explaining, hatred. One should not be a separatist. One should not hate anyone based on the externals. One should not hate any living entity. And the third thing is, one should not criticize. So one should avoid the criticism of any person other than if somebody is being offensive to the Lord. But otherwise, one should avoid criticism. So he's saying these are the three things one should avoid. And he's giving the definition of pure bhakti as being bhakti performed without material desires, consisting of senses that serve the Supreme Lord as confirmed by the scriptures and Guru. So in accordance with Guru Sadhu Sastra, one engages all his senses in the service of the Lord. Mind that is exclusively dedicated to the Lord on a spontaneous level, bhava, is superior to liberation. So he is giving this definition of pure bhakti. And what does he say? Such bhakti quickly destroys the subtle body as the digestive fire consumes food. So if one performs this bhakti where mind and senses are completely engaged in the service of the Lord, it destroys the body, subtle body, which means one becomes free from the karmic reaction as Narad Muni became and he achieved his eternal body. Okay, I'll stop here. If there are any comments or questions?
Thank you for the class, Prabhuji. My question was that, you know how you were saying that after Upabharana committed that offense, he became the son of a maidservant, and then he became Narada Muni. Was there any Narada Muni before that, or Narada Muni was just created at that time?
Yeah, so it is mentioned that Narada Muni is not a position. He is eternally Narada Muni. So at the time of dissolution, Narada Muni does not die, is eternal. Yeah. So there was no Narada Muni before that, but it was, yeah.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you for the nice class. Prabhuji, you said if somebody serves the Lord for a few days, eventually he can go back home, back to Godhead. So then why do we have to remember the Lord at the time of death?
Yeah, so one has to practice. So, of course, there are two ways of going back home, back to Godhead. One is you can go in this lifetime, or you can go in multiple lifetimes. So, depending on when you want to go back. Of course, even if you perform little bit of devotional service, what does Bhagavad Gita say? What will happen if you perform devotional and you are not perfect? What will happen to you? So, Bhagavad Gita says, first of all, you get to enjoy for a long time in the heavenly kingdom. And then you are again born into the family of an aristocratic, rich family or a Brahmana family. And then you continue your journey. So it might take few lifetimes. So you will be given opportunity again to continue. But best is to just perfect in this one lifetime and go back home, back to Godhead. So that is why we practice. The process that we perform is called Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. And what is the goal that we are trying to reach after performing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti? As it is mentioned here in Prahlad Maharaj case, it was spontaneous, Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, spontaneous devotion. So when spontaneous devotion, so until we are at the stage of spontaneous devotion, we have to perform this Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, because as soon as spontaneous devotion arises in our heart, we'll automatically remember the Lord at the time of death. Otherwise, what will happen at the time of death? What will we remember? Prabhupada mentions we will remember that which we have practiced, which we are very much attached to in this life. So at the end of life, we don't want to be remembering our bank balance or car or toys or mother or father or someone else. We want to remember the Lord so that we go back home, back to Godhead. We go to our real home.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Okay.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Okay. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.